We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We are live inside the Kia Studios here on what is a Friday edition of The Morning Show. I'm your host, Thomas Mott, as we are filling in, of course, for John and Hugh, who, I wonder if they're still asleep right now. Do John and Hugh sleep in on the days they don't have to wake up at like dark 30 and then actually come in? Because I feel like I would overall, but at the same time, maybe you're on that schedule, so you have to keep that schedule. That way you don't feel like a zombie whenever you wake up on Monday morning. I don't know how it works. If you're awake, John and Hugh, then I guess good for you. It is 7 a.m., so most people are awake right now. But if not, they are deserving some much-deserved R&R as they are off for today, and then, of course, Friday, Saturday. But they will be back to their normal Monday morning showtime slot for a Monday edition of The Morning Show starting this coming Monday. How are we doing here? Get started on your 4th of July weekend. You know, sports have not officially started back yet, and yet the NFL, thankfully, is still a massive entity that gives us news and entertainment every single day. I cover multiple NFL teams at my other jobs, and you would be shocked at how much content we get every single day in terms of player news and player rumors, and this is happening and that is happening. So we always do a segment on my normal show called Ready or Mott. We do the NFL Quick Hits, which is basically a segment where we talk about all the latest news happening with the Falcons and then, of course, with the rest of the National Football League at the same time. So, Marshall, without further ado, let's go and jump into the NFL Quick Hits. All right, so we always start with the Atlanta Falcons because obviously, if you didn't notice, we live in a city called Atlanta. It's where the Falcons play. There isn't a lot in terms of player personnel news going on with the Falcons, but there is big news in terms of the NFL preseason that was dropped just a couple of days ago and, yes, will affect the Falcons. So you've probably heard, this came on July 1st, the NFL is shortening the preseason to 2 games due to coronavirus. Now, as with every single national media headline you see, there's the headline portion, which is meant to draw your eye, get you to click on it, and they go, oh my gosh, the NFL is so worried about coronavirus, they're canceling 2 games. And then you actually click on the article, you do your research, and it's like, oh no, they're not worried about coronavirus, which I'm sure they are partially, but in reality, they are worried about players not being in football shape. So here's the deal. The Falcons and all other 31 NFL football teams are going to have their first preseason game cut and their fourth preseason game cut. So instead of the preseason starting on like August 13th, it'll then start August 21st through the 24th and then go into the end of August as well for 2 preseason games. So the Falcons will have their first preseason game cut and then they will have their final preseason game cut, which really shouldn't offend anybody, right? Like how many people are that geared up in terms of the Falcons' preseason games, especially the first and fourth, because the first and fourth preseason games are literally the 2 preseason games that nobody watches because the starters will literally play like 1 snap, if that. Matt Ryan normally does not play in the preseason in terms of the first game, and Julio Jones always sits out literally the entire preseason game. So the Miami game, it's cut, and the Jacksonville game on September 3rd will be cut as well. As I said earlier, though, this is not because the NFL is concerned about players. Well, they are concerned about player safety, but it's not because they're concerned about the coronavirus. They are concerned about players not being in football shape. So they're going to give them essentially 20 extra days of training camp to get, you know, the wind underneath their sails and get their sea legs on them and get into football shape. That way, you don't have a ton of injuries popping up at the start of training camp and ruining the entire rest of the NFL season. The worst part about training camp, literally the worst, is whenever your star player or starter on your team gets injured and he's done for the year. He tears his ACL, or you have the Achilles pop, or he breaks a bone or something, and his season ends before it even starts. It happens every single year, and while this won't fully mitigate it, someone, somewhere, some NFL team, hopefully not the Falcons, will have an injury. Two less preseason games, and giving the teams more time just to practice in general and get their conditioning under wraps, I should say, will be better overall for the National Football League. Now, as Caleb Johnson said during a Sports Flash, the NFLPA is trying to negate the preseason altogether. I don't vibe with that idea, because there are still a lot of fringe bubble roster players, undrafted free agents, seventh round draft picks, guys who are trying just to make the league, who have already had their actual playing time cut with four preseason games going down to two. But now, if you cut it from two down to nothing, when will these guys get to go on the football field and actually showcase their playing style? And don't tell me it's going to happen in practice, because as every single NFL player and team has said, whenever you play a different opponent than yourself, you truly get to see just how good you are. So I'm fine with two games. Keep it at two games. I understand that two games is not just a panic reaction to the coronavirus numbers going up. It's trying to keep players safe in terms of their overall conditioning health. But don't take out all four. We'll see what the NFLPA does, as that, of course, is an ongoing, you know, ever-present thing right now. But hopefully they keep it at two, and the NFL season in terms of the preseason can get underway there in August as the Falcons lose the Dolphins game, which is, you know, a little bummer. You don't get to see Tua. And then, of course, the Jags game, the fourth preseason game there as well. All right, keep going here on the NFL Quick Hits. We have some audio to get to here in just a second. But right now, Randy Moss was on, I believe he was on, was it the CBS Sports? No, sorry, NewJersey.com. Randy Moss was asked about, of course, the big news of the week, Cam Newton signing with his former team, the New England Patriots. Now, Randy Moss, you remember, had one of the best seasons ever for a wide receiver, his 1 year in New England with Tom Brady when they went 16-0, and then, of course, eventually lost to Eli Manning and the New York Jets in the David Tyree helmet catch. So you'd think, when asked about Cam Newton, he would say something along the lines of, oh, well, listen, Brady is still the GOAT. You know, they were still better with Brady, but Cam could be fun and interesting, and I think makes sense with New England. Nope, that's not what he said. Do we have the Cam Newton audio, Marshall? Let me know whenever you have that, or the Randy Moss audio on Cam Newton. Instead of giving praise to his former quarterback, in my opinion, he took a shot at Tom Brady. He took a shot at his former, let's be honest, greatest quarterback of all time, and gave all the praise to Cam Newton, despite the fact that no one really knows if Cam is 100% healthy, and no one really knows if Cam is going to be 100% good to go. Do you have that audio here? Yes, it's the one Randy Moss one. You got it? All right, go ahead and play it. It's coming up here in 1 second. We'll get that for you as soon as we can here. In terms of Randy Moss, I can just read the quote overall there as well. You want to just do that? Let's do that one. No, I'll go ahead and read it. So he says, quote, I think we are really getting ready to see how fun that offense can be. Not discrediting anything Tom Brady accomplished, because he accomplished some great things, but I think being able to have a guy like Cam that can run the ball, that are able to spread guys out, and then being able to be that viable threat in the passing game, and that he can just tuck the ball and run. So the Patriots now are more fun, according to Randy Moss, than, according to Randy Moss, with Cam Newton than they were with Tom Brady. What? Is winning Super Bowls not fun? This is like a legitimate question. Is winning Super Bowls not fun? Is winning games not fun? Is rushing touchdowns from a quarterback, is that what's fun now in the National Football League? There's not even a guarantee that Cam Newton is going to start. Let me say it again. It is not guaranteed that Cam Newton is going to start for the New England Patriots. They have a quarterback who is groomed under Brady, who's been in the Belichick system, and who is a pocket passer, which, of course, we know Belichick likes, named Jarrett Stidham. Now, you're saying, Thomas, Jarrett Stidham is not a great quarterback. He wasn't that good at Auburn. How can you say he's going to start over Cam Newton? I'm saying because Cam Newton has not played 16 games in years. He's had a ton of lower body injuries. He's had a ton of upper body throwing injuries. And he's just had a ton of accuracy issues as a whole. There's no guarantee that Cam Newton's going to roll in there and absolutely ball out. And the proof behind that is he signed for $550,000. Adam Schefter said no other team showed even any remote interest in Cam Newton, because you know what you get when you sign him. You get a little bit of media circus in terms of, ooh, will he start? Will he not start? And then you get a guy who's not been able to stay consistently healthy. So this idea that he makes them more fun to me is a little bit ridiculous. Can he still win the starting job and make some plays and maybe go to the postseason because the roster is decent? Sure. but there's no guarantee that he even starts this season because they have a guy that they like in Jarrett Stidham, and all reports are showing that Stidham is going to be the guy unless Cam comes in and absolutely balls out in terms of training camp. Okay, the New York Post, as we keep going here on the NFL Quick Hits, makes a very interesting point about backup quarterbacks. Now, of course, Thomas, like, backup quarterbacks are not interesting unless their name is Cam Newton, right? Like, is Matt Schaub someone we want to talk about a ton here at 92.9 The Game in terms of Matt Ryan's backup quarterback? Well, the answer is no, but the New York Post has a fascinating article talking about how this could be, quote, the year of the backup quarterback. Now, you say, why? And the answer is coronavirus. Think about this. The New York Post is arguing you could have a scenario where multiple starting quarterbacks in the National Football League could come down with coronavirus. Therefore, having a backup quarterback could be more important than ever. Now, looking around the National Football League, not a lot of teams have a good backup quarterback, but maybe a team we just talked about in New England, and teams like Philadelphia, who drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, and teams like the Bears, who signed, who traded for Nick Foles, and teams like the 49ers, who already have a good backup in Nick Mullins, could be in a better position for a coronavirus year in the National Football League than other teams. Now, let's be honest here. A bunch of starting quarterbacks in the National Football League start contracting coronavirus week 4 or week 5 or week 6, the season will probably just end overall. There's no way you could have Breeze and Brady and Ryan and, I don't know, Lamar Jackson throw another quarterback in there, all contract coronavirus, and the NFL just goes, play your backups. You know, they'll be back eventually. There's just no way that happens. So the idea of this being the year of the backup is interesting and could be true, but as I think all of us understand but don't want to fully admit, as soon as one player, and like any player on a team, and mainly starters, but any player on a team, gets the coronavirus, and it's going to be very, 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 very hard for zero NFL players to actually not contract the virus. Like, it's going to be very hard for us to have a fully clean season in terms of no NFL players get the virus. So as soon as one actually gets it, you're going to start to sit there and go, the NFL is probably days away from canceling because you got to quarantine, you got to test everybody else, they start showing symptoms, they got to stay home, like back forth, so on. It gets a little bit crazy. The year of the backup could be interesting. Does this mean the Falcons should go out and sign a backup quarterback who's better than Matt Schaub? No, I mean, like I said, I don't think that we're going to get to that point in the NFL. But if those teams that did go out and get a quarterback this offseason, and maybe I just ripped the Patriots for signing Cam Newton, maybe they did it just because of this reason. Don't be surprised if you see more backup quarterbacks play than not in a coronavirus-filled league overall. Final bit of news here on the NFL Quick Hits. Antonio Brown has been in the news a lot, not just this offseason, but really the past couple of days. So AB has been reportedly drawing interest from the Bucs, as that was reported, I believe, by CBS Sports, and then apparently disreported or told untrue by Deanna Rossini of ESPN. Then yesterday, he was seen on Russell Wilson's Twitter and Instagram account working out with Russell Wilson. So the idea that Antonio Brown is about to be back in the National Football League is a very hot topic and something that a lot of people are talking about. Here's the problem, as it always is. There's the national media headline that says, AB works out with Russell Wilson, Seahawks, you know, signing and, you know, impending. And then you click on it, you go, well, he could be signed, yes. But right now, there are three separate incidents involving Antonio Brown. There's the moving incident. I believe there's a sexual misconduct or sexual assault allegation and one other that would mean as soon as he is signed, the NFL will launch their in-house investigation and probably suspend him. So this idea that there is this superstar wide receiver named Antonio Brown who's working out and drawing interest from Brady or drawing interest from Russell Wilson or some other football team and is close to signing is complete nonsense, because as soon as you sign Antonio Brown, the National Football League starts their internal investigation. And in the current scope of just America in general, the idea that Antonio Brown could go through an investigation for three separate off-the-field incidents and not get suspended for a lengthy period of time, whether that's 4 games or 6 games or 8 games or 12 games, is ridiculous. So again, we finish up the NFL Quick Hits news here. You obviously like the idea of Antonio Brown coming back. He was one of the best wide receivers in the NFL just a couple of years ago. I mean, honestly, like 15 touchdowns in 2017. The guy is an absolute stud, but there's no way that he's going to suddenly sign with the Bucs and be in the Falcons division, or, you know, sign in with Russell Wilson and be in the NFC despite working out with them, because the NFL would immediately do an investigation, immediately sideline him, and probably, let's be honest, suspend him for either one or multiple of the alleged violations that he had over the past year. There you go. Those are the latest NFL headlines, obviously trying to keep you guys up to date on everything that is happening inside the world of the National Football League. Here's what's coming up in about 6 minutes. So Matt Ryan was on Pardon My Take, the Barstool. If you heard of the Barstool podcast, like the number one sports podcast in the world, he was on Pardon My Take and was floated this softball question about who is the best quarterback in the NFC South. He said himself. And people are saying, oh, that's funny, Matt Ryan. Tom Brady's in there. Stop. You do realize that Matt Ryan right now going into 2020 is the best quarterback in the National Football League, right? Like this should not be a debate. And even though it will be, and will people be upset, we're going to talk about that coming up here in just about 5 minutes. Matt Ryan, Pardon My Take, best quarterback in the NFC South. Is it true? That's next year as we take a quick break, back in 5 minutes, as Thomas Mott, of course, fills in right now on the morning show for John and Hugh, Sports Radio. Thank you, none the game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com, live right now, of course, until 10 a.m. on the East Coast. It's the morning show, just minus John and minus you, as I, your fearful host, Thomas Mott, am holding down the fort here on what is a holiday weekend for Entercom and 92.9 The Game, as the guys get Friday off, they get Saturday off, Sunday off, and then the guys will be back, don't worry, on Monday for, of course, the full five-hour edition of the morning show, the midday show with Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell in the afternoon, and then, of course, John Chuckery, as most of them have taken vacation days. So all of us, I'm not going to call us the B team, because I think we're all the A team, but all of us other hosts here at 92.9 have been filling in. Marshall Parker producing with me here, as he always does for my show, which hasn't been on the air in a while, but it's fun, Marshall, to kind of hang out and actually get to host a show together. We've not seen each other in what has been a very, very long time. It took a lot of catching up.
3 months?
I think it's been 3 months. I was going to look back on the day that I came back, or my final show, because I hosted a show with Will Pelagic, and it was a socially distanced show, so he was there and I was here or whatever it was, but I don't remember when that was. It was a long time ago, but I digress. Training wheels are off. Back here, of course, inside the Kia Studios, getting you guys ready for what should be a very fun overall 4th of July weekend.
March 17th was the last show.
Jeez.
I did with you.
And what is today right now? Today is July 3rd. Wow. Yeah. I wonder what we talked about during that March 17th show. I'm sure it was.
I don't know.
Maybe the draft would have been coming up.
You know what? I'll see if I can find some.
I'm very curious. I don't even know what happened in March. March feels like 80 years ago. All right. So let's move over to this. I teased this during the last segment. So last week, Matt Ryan went on like literally the most successful sports podcast in the world. It's called Pardon My Take. It's a Barstool sports podcast. It's a little raunchy for some, but it's very, very funny. And of course, they get a ton of listeners. And they do that by having very interesting and funny conversations with professional sports athletes. So Matt Ryan goes on this, and they talked about a lot of things, including the Super Bowl and how, of course, Matt Ryan dealt with the 28-3 lead. What's hilarious is the guys at Pardon My Take asked him one of those gotcha questions that almost every single person in the media does, where they have a question lined up and they know what they want the answer to be, because if they get the right answer, then it'll be, like we said, a national media headline. Matt Ryan says this, or, you know, you can insert politician A says this, just how it works in the media. But they, of course, all in good jest, make it and present it as a fun question that is also a gotcha question. That way they can have a funny answer and to see what Matt Ryan would have to say. The problem is, and we're going to play this audio here in 1 second, is Matt Ryan's answer to this gotcha question is taken in jest, but is 100% right, 100% true, and let's be honest, 100% accurate as well. So, of course, let's first go ahead and play about 35 seconds, the audio from Matt Ryan's interview on Pardon My Take, and then we will go ahead and react.
Let's get some extra ratings out of this interview real quick. Can you just guarantee us how many wins you're going to have next year?
Mm. Oh, you need an over and under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. You know I can't do that. I'll get roasted for it. But I'm going to say we're going to win 12 games.
Ooh. Okay. How about this? Also, let's go a one step further. Would you say you're the best quarterback in the NFC South?
I think currently, yeah, I'll go with myself.
Yes, there you go. Now that Jameis is gone, I love it.
Well, he's still there.
Oh yeah,
good
point.
He's still in the NFC South.
Yeah, no, that is a fair point.
Did you catch that? He said, yeah, I think currently, yeah, I'll go with myself. That's what Matt Ryan said when asked about if he's the best quarterback in the NFC South. Now, again, that's a gotcha question, right? You ask Matt Ryan that question because you know he's not going to say, well, it's not me because I'm no good. It's going to be Tom Brady or Drew Brees. Like, you know Matt Ryan is supposed to say, yes, it's me. You're at your job right now. People ask you, are you the best salesman in your force? Are you going to say, no, I'm trash. Trust me, I'm like the third best salesman. Someone asks you right now, Thomas, are you the best host at 92.9 The Game? Now, I understand my place here at 92.9 The Game, and that I would not be, you know, correct to say, yes, I'm the best host. But if you still ask me, I'd say, yeah, I think I'm the best host at 92.9 The Game. It's just how it works when you're asked that question. But my question for you, after hearing that clip, is was your reaction to the audio clip like, LOL, nice joke, Matt Ryan. We know you're not the best quarterback in the NFC South. Because if that was your answer, like, you're crazy. If your idea or answer to Matt Ryan saying he's the best quarterback in the NFC South is no, obviously he's not, you're absolutely crazy. Let me say this right now. Hold on to your steering wheel. This is I don't know why this is a hot take. Matt Ryan right now is 100% the best quarterback in the NFC South going into 2020, and it's not a debate. And no, I've not been living under a rock. I understand what quarterbacks are in the NFC South. Like, I can hear you. Oh, Thomas, you're insane. Did you forget that Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, is in the NFC South, Thomas? Did you forget that? Drew Brees, you know who that guy is? He won a Super Bowl, one of the most beloved people in the state of Louisiana and the city of New Orleans. He's in the NFC South. Did you forget about those guys, Thomas? No, I didn't forget about them. Did you forget how old Tom Brady and Drew Brees are and what they've done recently? Like, do you understand that both Tom Brady and Drew Brees are old enough to be my dad? Let me say that again. Tom Brady and Drew Brees are old enough to be my dad. This is not a debate about who has been the better quarterback. Right? 7 rings combined between Brady and Brees. This is a debate about who is the best quarterback, as the question was presented right now in the NFC South by Pardon My Take. And with Brady and Brees' most recent games, and obviously you're judged by your most recent games in terms of your success going into the future, and the fact that they are 42 and 43 years old, it's not even close. The last time we saw Tom Brady, he got outplayed by Ryan Tannehill and failed to throw a touchdown at home in Foxborough in the wild card round of the playoffs. You remember he threw an interception, pick 6 to Logan Ryan that ended his career and ended the Patriots' run as we know it. He also had a QBR of 38 in that game. Plus, they were a wild card team and not a first round bye team, which of course is what Brady had been able to do for a lot of his career leading up to that. Last year, Tom Brady, for as great as he is, and he's the best quarterback to ever put on an NFL or, let's just be honest, football uniform, had his lowest completion percentage, his lowest total yards, his lowest touchdown passes since the Super Bowl year in 2016. And let's be honest, the Bucs, you, me, the rest of the NFC South, the rest of the world, have no idea what they are going to get out of Tom Brady's 42-year-old body. Now, are they going to get good work ethic from Tom Brady? Yes. Are they going to get a guy who comes in there every single day and gives you everything with the best winning mentality we've ever seen known to sports? Yes. But he's 42 years old, going to be 43. The idea that he's going to waltz in there and just get back to his normal, you know, 2016 Super Bowl self is ridiculous. Likewise, Drew Brees, he's 41. He's halfway down the I am so old, my arm strength is a noodle track, and has lost in the Superdome like each of the last couple of years, or the last time in the Superdome, I should say. He posted a 47.2 QBR and lost in the wild card round to Kirk Cousins. The Drew Brees that we know, the Tom Brady that we know, that we will see in the NFC South, the last time we saw them on the football field, they were both in the wild card round. They both were at home in what should be an incredible home field advantage, and they both got outplayed and lost to worse quarterbacks named Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins. Do I even need to say anything about Teddy Bridgewater when talking about all 4 quarterbacks in the NFC South? Like, do I really need to have a conversation about how Teddy Bridgewater is obviously not the best quarterback in the NFC South? Now, he's going to be interesting. And listen, I went to Baylor. I'm a Matt Rhule guy. Matt Rhule is going to get the Carolina Panthers figured out sooner rather than later. But Teddy Bridgewater is obviously number 4 on the quarterback hierarchy list in the NFC South. This answer that Matt Ryan gave on Pardon My Take is hilarious because the question, the guys, even Matt Ryan, it was all meant to be in good fun. You heard him laugh, right? But once you actually think about it, like once you actually go, okay, wait a second. Tom Brady's 42. Drew Brees is 41. Teddy Bridgewater has not been healthy and really is not that great. Both of those other previous quarterbacks were great, can still be good, can probably still win a lot of games. But the idea that Matt Ryan is not the best quarterback in the NFC East being 6 years younger than Tom Brady is ridiculous. I saw so many articles and so many people on Twitter poking fun at Matt Ryan for saying what he has to say, being the best quarterback in the NFC South. And you sit there and go, what game are people watching? The problem is, We are so used to highlight moments as people. Like, when we think of highlights, we think of, oh, Tom Brady, like, six Super Bowls. Oh, Drew Brees, right, won that Super Bowl. That we forget what they've done recently. And what Brady and Brees have done recently, while still very, very good, they're still top 10, top 15 quarterbacks. They're starting to fall off a cliff a little bit because, guess what? Like I said, they're old enough to be my father. Literally, I'm 24. They're 41 and 42. They, you know, kid at an early age, but still old enough to be my dad. This does not mean, I'll wrap it up with this, that the Falcons are going to win 12 games, like Matt Ryan said, because I think his prediction was a little bit, you know, a little high. 12 games, right? I mean, let's just win 9. You know, that'd be fine here in Atlanta. Win 9 and then get to 10 and then we'll talk. But the idea that just because I'm saying Matt Ryan's the best quarterback in the NFC South does not mean that they're going to go ahead and win the NFC South. But it does show and it does mean that even though a lot of people in this city, as I have shown many, many times on my normal show, Ready or Mott, and of course, the Falcons Flyover, the Falcons postgame show that I host here on the station as well, people like to rip on Matt Ryan. As Andy Bunker, we heard from him earlier in this show, says he is the staple of consistency. And right now, going into 2020, a year that has a lot of question marks, the one question mark that we don't have on the Falcons is Matt Ryan versus Brady or Brees, because Brees' arm is falling off. And the last time we saw both him and Tom Brady in 2019, they were losing in the wild card round against worse quarterbacks and started to truly look their age. And guess what? Father Time is undefeated, and that time continues to roll on through this offseason and will continue to roll on in 2020. Matt Ryan, hands down, not even a debate, please agree with me because you know I'm right, is the best quarterback in the NFC South. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Jason Longshore, I sent him a text this week. I said, Jason, listen, I'm back on the air Friday, soccer, MLS, days away. Can we talk about it? He said, Thomas, I'm literally hosting the show after you. Jason Longshore, Chris Goforth are the midday show. I can't come on your show and then host the show. So Jason Longshore was on with the midday or on with the morning show guys yesterday. And so we're going to have that interview for you guys as he breaks down and gets you ready for Atlanta United back on the pitch finally. That's next. The morning show with Thomas Mott rolls on. Sports Radio, 92 on the game and 92thegame.com. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92thegame.com, live and local inside the Kia Studios here. Thomas Mott filling in on the morning show for John and Hugh. Like I said during that last break, I texted Jason Longshore 2 days ago, of course, the Atlanta color analyst and soccer extraordinaire for Atlanta United. I said, Jason, listen, MLS starting up here, days away from actually seeing the five stripes on the pitch. Let's do an interview. And he said, Thomas, I would love to, but I'm hosting the show after you. So Jason Longshore and Chris Goforth are coming up here in, what is that, hour and a half, 10 a.m. here on the East Coast, so I'm sure you'll get plenty more soccer conversation from Longshore himself. But he was on the morning show with John and Hugh, the actual morning show with John and Hugh, yesterday, doing exactly what I was hoping he would do today on this show. So we're going to have that for you guys right here. Here's Jason Longshore from yesterday, getting you ready for the start of the MLS season with that MLS tournament. Woo, it's going to be fun. Here's him with John and Hugh.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, joining us as he does every week on the WakeBoard.com hotline. Morning to you, Jason.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Living the dream, man. How are you being?
About the same. About the same. Getting ramped up for this now that we're looking at games on the calendar and we're getting close.
All right, Jason, let's talk a little bit about the headlines this morning. One of the big headlines for Atlanta United is a new player. I guess he must have played for Tata, right, down at the Mexican national team some degree. Tell me about the new addition to the club on loan from Liga MX.
Jürgen Damm, he's a player who was out of contract at Tigres in Monterrey. He just missed Tata during his time in Mexico. Okay. Tata came in after the 2018 season here. His last caps with Mexico were late in 2018. He's a player who emerged on the scene about 4 or 5 years ago and is one of the fastest players in the world. The problem for him, because he's been linked with big clubs in Europe, the problem has been that final ball, that final pass, creating those chances that people are looking for. And that's going to be something that Frank de Boer is going to have to figure out, the best way to use Jürgen Damm and that game-breaking speed, which we've seen Atlanta United use to pretty good effect over the years.
Well, this ought to be interesting. Yeah, go ahead, you.
You know, we had the start of National Women's League Soccer last week. What did you think of that? And are you concerned at all about the start of MLS?
I've been loving the NWSL Challenge Cup. The game on CBS last week, last Saturday, ratings were really good for us. Good match, too. I thought the level coming out of the gates with this competition, with, you know, not a normal kind of preseason, was very good. And I hope a lot of people are getting into this tournament and getting to know some more players who are on the rise in the U.S. Women's National Team pool. For MLS, it's a little different because there's some differences between Utah and the situation with coronavirus in Utah versus what's going on in Florida, and more specifically Orlando. And we've seen one team, FC Dallas, had some issues, and it's a little unclear as to what is causing this. They've had 9 players test positive since arriving in Orlando. 1 coach has tested positive. They did not have any positives that went to Orlando according to the protocols if they were followed. So people are trying to get to the bottom of what happened to cause this. It has been isolated to FC Dallas. No other team has had a player or staff member that's tested positive, but it's definitely got people, you know, a little more concerned and trying to find out why this is happening with the Dallas squad.
Does that extend out to Carlos Vela? Is there a thought that he might not? I think he's thinking about it, right? He's like 50-50?
Yeah, that's been there from the beginning, and I think it was a little misconstrued in some reporting I saw yesterday. The issue with Carlos Vela is that his wife is expecting. And it's one thing during the regular season where you can miss a road trip if you're getting close, that kind of thing, miss a game. This is something where you're going into a bubble scenario, and if you leave and try to come back, you're going to be out for 10 days as you get reacclimated in and quarantine and all that. So it's not really an easy situation with a tournament that's 30-plus days to be away for that period of time. So a decision has not been made yet from Carlos Vela, but reports out of ESPN are saying that he is leaning to not participating in the tournament.
Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst. I want to go back to Jurgen Damm for a moment. I want you to talk to me and to Five Stripes fans about full team workouts, what you think you can expect, and who's going to have an impact. You got John Gallagher joining the club. You have Jurgen Damm now joining the club on loan. We haven't really seen a whole lot of, Josetu yet, in terms of the, been a while, of course, since they played a game and didn't have a whole lot of a chance to obviously impact the first couple of games here. So there are going to be a lot of new pieces that Frank DeBoer has to kind of integrate into this for this team. How do you think that's going to fit, and how do you see this all kind of working here?
Yeah, there's been a lot of moves here in the last couple of days. To recap briefly, John Gallagher will be part of the team going forward. He has been training. His loan to Aberdeen has concluded. Luis Fernando, who had played in the CONCACAF Champions League, Atlanta United 2 player who signed a first-team deal late last year, he has been let go to make an international roster spot for Jurgen Damm. Manuel Castro's loan was extended. It was originally set to end on June 30th. And with Damm, the one thing to keep in mind is it is a full deal. It's not a loan. He was out of contract at Tigres, but he's not able to join the team until after this tournament. Just the process for bringing in players from outside the country right now, obviously it's a little bit slower than it normally would be. There's not an issue on the visa side of things for a professional athlete, but he hasn't been training. There's been no training going on in Mexico in clubs, so he's got a lot of work to do to just get his individual fitness up. Frank DeBoer's going to have a lot of options. You know, that's a lot of talent that has come into this team, and there was already a lot of talent here. You just had some injuries at the beginning of the season. Frank's going to have a lot of opportunities to look at what the shape, what the team's going to look like, what the lineups can look like, and what his rotations look like, because that's one of the challenges that we see with a team with a lot of talent. How do you keep everybody happy? Because talented players want minutes, and you've got to try to create the competition within the squad to get the best out of everybody, but keep people happy and keep them playing and give them opportunities to get on the field. It's a tough balance.
We're talking to Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst on the WayForward.com headline. Turns out we won't see LGP in Orlando. Can you give us any update on why he's being held back from playing by the league rules?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing that the league is stuck in right now. Normally, your transfer window would have been open through early May at the beginning of the season, and then there would have been another one that would have been open in July and closed in early August. Because of all of the stoppages of play around the world, transfer windows around the world are all in flux, and MLS wanted to hold theirs back as well, because you want to be active in your transfer window when others are, because it increases your opportunity to buy and sell. Now, you also have a tournament coming up, and you wanted to give teams the opportunity to make some changes. LGP is a player that is going to be a player for Inter Miami that will be over the TAM threshold. And what they decided was, for this tournament, they would not allow designated players or TAM players to be added to teams for the tournament. I think the other element, too, that we do have to keep in mind is the league is having its players take a pay cut, a 5% pay cut this year. So there's a little bit of a balancing act in terms of having players take a pay cut, but also bringing in players that are going to be on sizable salaries, and the optics of that. That's a difficult one. So they're going to hold any signing that would be a TAM player or designated player signing. They join the team after this tournament for the rest of the regular season. Leandro Gonzalez-Pires falls into that for Miami.
Pardon me, Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst. I'm going to ask a question on a turn here, but I feel like I want to. It's been 15 weeks since Joseph had his surgery. Have you heard any update?
He's working out, and we're seeing more workouts where, you know, there's some weight-bearing exercises on that knee. Not expecting to see him anytime soon, but these are all really good signs. The club's keeping it quiet, and Joseph's keeping it quiet, as they should. I don't know what a timeline looks like, honestly, but with talk that the regular season in MLS could stretch into December, that gives him more opportunity to get back and get healthy and be able to contribute this season.
Yeah, I think, is it fair to say that you might be actually expecting that could happen?
I wouldn't say expecting. I think the possibility is there, where in the normal calendar we were looking at, it was incredibly unlikely. Now that door's opened a little bit, and it's just too early to tell. Until we see him running, until we see cutting and things like that, it's a little too early to tell.
Well, Jason, 6 days away. Next time we talk to you, it'll be right ahead of the opening game. So here we go. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about soccer, and looking forward to talking about tactics and teams and games, and all the storylines that we've been getting out of the NWSL. Excited for that to come to MLS next week.
Thanks, Jason. Do appreciate
you. The man.
Thanks, y'all.
That was, of course, Jason Longshore on the morning show yesterday with John and Hugh. It's a good time to be Jason Longshore, right? Soccer is finally starting. That's how it looks out here, because we will obviously have a lot of team reporters. Joe Patrick, we'll talk to him later on in the show. He's our resident Braves expert. Obviously, Jason Longshore, Mike Conti, they do Atlanta United. They get their first crack at their sport coming back here in just about 8 days on the 11th, when obviously Atlanta United and the New York Red Bulls get going. It's just going to be fun. Because, like, we've had NASCAR, and you've had, you know, some golf here or there, and it's been enough, maybe not enough to keep us going, but enough to at least give us a little taste of sports. But then we get our first official Atlanta sport. Now, I know the race was at Atlanta Motor Speedway, but, you know, the first official Atlanta sport of the big three, the big four here, when you get Atlanta United back on the pitch. Excited to see what they're going to do and what they're going to look like. Obviously, without Joseph Martinez, that's going to be the big one. Will there be some rust? Yeah, every single sport's going to have a ton of rust overall, but I think it's going to be fun to see overall. I know Jason Longshore is excited about it, and he is actually coming up at 10 a.m. here on the East Coast, as Chris Goforth and himself will be live and local, and they will go ahead and take you guys through their edition of the Midday Show before, I believe it's Willie P and Nick are the afternoon show, and Sam Crenshaw is filling in for John Chuckery tonight. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that that is correct. Of course, look for my name on the list first, and then we look for the other names there. So Marshall and I are here with you guys until 10 a.m. Here's what's coming up in about 6 minutes. Caleb Johnson will join me for one of my favorite segments I normally do on my show, called News You Can Lose. Three stories that you've got to hear. You won't believe. That's next as the morning show. Thomas Mott filling in for John and Hugh. Rolls on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92andthegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.